Hello.
Hi, James. It's Lisa. How are you?
Hey, Lisa. Good.
Good to hear that. Okay, so I have Kevin with me right here. He's the writing team head that is assigned on your project, and he would like to have a word with you regarding the storyline overall. All right, so I will transfer you over to him. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Okay, perfect. Please join the line.
Hello.
Hey, Kevin.
Hello, James. How are you?
I'm fine.
Okay, that's good to hear. Okay, so regarding your book, your story, first of all, I would need to know about what you think about the story, how you want to go about it. You know, just give me every single information, let me know the information, the narrative you have in your mind, everything. Shoot.
Okay. But real quickly though, did you get my file and that little blurb that I wrote?
Yeah, I do have a file open in front of me right now. It says Weak Insane, Weak Insane. It's a preface basically. Is that a file you're referring to?
There's one. So I think I filled out the two.
A 5-pager, and then you filled out our brief form.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so I actually have the 5-page open in front of me right now. Okay, so obviously I would go about it, but right now I need what you have in your mind, what you think about the story, what you want the story to be, you know?
Yeah, sure. So I'll probably say a lot of the same stuff that is in that 5-page thing you have.
Okay.
But let me just start by telling you, so one of the challenges that I have, or that we have, is I don't have an ending. I'm open to whatever y'all suggest. We can talk about it, but I don't know. But it's just a story that I've had for a long time. So I'll tell you what I have in my head.
Please do. I mustn't. You know, I actually do know that it must be bugging you. You know that you have this freaking story inside your head that you can't get it off. You know, because I've had this experience a lot of times. You know, I have this idea in my head, but I just can't articulate it. You know, it's weird, but
well,
yeah, it happens.
So let me add to what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And this is pretty pathetic on my part,
mm-hmm.
but so a long time ago, I used to work in the entertainment industry. I used to work in television,
okay.
And so when I tell you my little story here, I'll probably tell it to you like I'm trying to describe, like I'm trying to sell you on making a movie. And I'm not trying to do that because I necessarily think this needs to be a movie. I'm just telling you that that's just the way that I've always told stories from my previous job.
That's your narrative.
So,
okay.
But also I should say that I'm embarrassed to admit it to you, but I have had the beginning of this story.
I won't judge you.
I've had this story swimming around in my head since back when I used to work in the business, and that was 20 something years ago.
Oh,
and
wow.
I just never did anything with it, and so it's gnawing at me. So that's why I decided to get someone like y'all involved. Okay, so all right, so again, if you read the 5-page narrative, then you're going to hear similar stuff. But
mm-hmm.
okay, so here's my little sales pitch for you. So the way that I have this story in my head, since you asked, I have it starting off with a typical scene that you have when you see like a large city scene, like a New York City in the morning, early in the morning, and there's a guy jogging, and you can see like the steam rising off of the streets, and he's jogging, and he ends up going into, and he's wearing like sweatpants and a sweatshirt.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing fancy at all, nothing highbrow, just
mm-hmm.
Regular old gray sweatpants and whatever. Anyway, and then, as he's jogging, he jogs into a really fancy high-rise glass skyscraper building. And like a lot of those, inside of there, there appears to be a very high-end members' fitness club, membership club. And so he's, you know, the next scene you see is him maybe doing a little bit of working out in the gym in the same sweatpants and everything. But then you see him go, then you see him taking a shower, and he goes to his locker, and he's got a couple of lockers side by side. And inside of the lockers, they're really nice lockers. They're very luxurious. And inside of them, there's several suits hanging and shirts and ties. And he, you know, he gets himself cleaned up and made up. And as he's walking out of the club, there's a tenant that is behind a counter, and he hands the tenant his sweaty clothes, and the tenant takes his clothes and says, you know, thank you, Mr. Jackson. We'll put these back in your locker after we get them cleaned. And so then he goes upstairs on, you know, the 50th floor or whatever, and he's working, and it shows him working. And I still haven't quite honed in on what I think kind of work he needs to do. I'm thinking something revolved in either real estate development or finance, or both real estate development and finance. And it shows him working really hard, and he's definitely one of these guys who is like the first guy to go in the mornings and the last guy to leave kind of jobs. He's that guy. So everybody leaves at the end of the day, things are settling down, and he's finishing up work, and you see him go back down the elevator and go back into the workout facility room. It's one of these clubs that are that nice. They tend to be 24 hour. You can go in anytime and work out. So he goes in, maybe it shows him put on some more sweatpants and his running shoes, and maybe does a little bit of working out again, whatever. But then he leaves and he starts running. So as the viewer or as the reader, you're assuming that now he's going to be running home. So he's running, and it's early evening, it's gotten dark, and then he starts running next to a big park. And as he's running next to the big park, then he cuts into the park and starts running through the park, and he starts kind of looking over his shoulder, and you're wondering if he hears somebody or thinks somebody's following him, and it turns out that's not why he's looking over his shoulder. He's making sure that nobody's there. And when he gets to a certain place, he kind of ducks into the woods, into the brush, and the bushes, and he kind of goes back through the bushes, and back in there is a little bit of a cleared out spot, and he's got his own little kind of makeshift area, and that's where this guy lives. It's absolutely crazy. That's where this guy lives. And he pulls out a little pallet that he has hidden, and he puts it down. He has a little pillow and stuff, and he has a little light, and he looks through his phone for a few minutes, and he cuts the light off, and he goes to sleep. And it turns out that, so what's going on is, I don't know how familiar you are with just how expensive it is to live in New York City. Mm-hmm. But so basically this guy, then maybe you go into a backstory, and when you look back into his past, he was a, you know, good looking, successful young guy who was dating another kind of a socialite, very good looking, very attractive socialite kind of girl. And they're dating, and he thinks he's just, you know, got his place in life. He's going to eventually marry this girl, and they're going to have a great life, and he's going to be successful in his career and whatever. And so he comes home early one afternoon, and he finds his girlfriend in bed with another man.
Ah, shit.
And he goes kind of crazy, and she basically says to him, when they're having this argument, she basically says to him, you're not, yes, you're successful, but you're not successful enough for me. I want more. I want more than what I think you're going to provide me. And so in addition to that kind of screwing with him emotionally and kind of making him go a little bit crazy because his whole world just collapsed in front of him. So now he has to go and stay in like in a hotel room because they live together. So now he's got to stay in the hotel room till he comes up with his next plan. You know what I mean? Yep. So he's staying in a hotel. He's staying in a hotel because he's not going to stay with her. And then one night he's sitting out at a bar, and he's sitting up at the bar, and he's got a bar napkin in front of him, and he's jotting down a bunch of notes on the bar napkin. And the notes that he's jotting, he's trying to find his next place to live and how much he needs to budget for his next place to live. And so when you're someone that's at his level, you know, successful in real estate development, successful in finance, whatever, and you're living that kind of life in New York, it's very, 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 very reasonable to think that your monthly rent is between $25,000 and $6 a month.
Yep.
And it's very reasonable to think that then, so he's writing down budget items on this bar napkin. He's writing rent, $25,000 or rent, $30,000 a month, power bill, electric bill, $250 a month, and cable bill and internet bill, $200 a month, and gas bill, $150 a month. And he's adding all these up and writing them all down on a bar napkin and figuring out, and it comes up to this incredibly, surprisingly high number. And so he's been staying at a hotel anyway. He's been staying at a hotel, and he's been working really, really late. And he starts realizing, he's like, wow, I mean, my monthly bills to go live in an apartment could easily be, let's just say, $40,000. Well, $40,000 a month times 12 months, just 1 year, that's about almost $500,000.
That's true.
And so he starts to he's a little bit gone crazy anyway. She's kind of made him go get obsessive. She basically said, you're not going to be successful enough. So he's gone from being a guy who works all the time to where now he's basically living at the office. He's, maybe one night he actually works in the office so late and he goes down. This is when he's still in the hotel room and he goes downstairs to get changed into his workout clothes. And this is before he's living homeless, okay? So he goes downstairs, and it's so late that he sits down on the bench in front of his lockers, and he lays down for a second just to catch his head. And next thing you know, he wakes up, and he realized he accidentally fell asleep in the locker room. And so he starts to realize, man, I'm working so much, and I don't have a wife or anybody else. I'm almost never, ever home. And so I'm going to spend $400,000 for a place that I just put my head for a couple of hours every night. That just seems crazy that I'm going to spend this kind of money when I'm working all the time. And so he gets in his head, I'm going to show her, I'm going to save as much money as I can so that I can be wealthier sooner than everybody else. If I can save $500,000 a year, after 10 years, I've saved $5 million. And if I invest it well, $5 million could easily be $8 million. So I could have saved $8 million in addition. So he just starts getting very obsessive, compulsive about the idea of saving as much money as he can. So he first kind of starts with baby steps. Like I said, he's living in that hotel while he was going to transition into an apartment. Then he starts thinking, man, I could do this. And so he doesn't check into the hotel room again. He checks out and he sleeps a night here and there in his office. And he sleeps a night here and there. He sleeps a night here and there, maybe in the locker room down at his gym. And he starts to realize, man, this is just kind of doable. So he keeps kind of trying the next step. And then he's like, well, I mean, if I could get myself a little setup, maybe I could do it. I can sleep outside. And so that's where he comes up with getting a scrap sheet of metal that he finds just in the woods at the park. And he gets some blankets and he gets a towel and he gets a garbage bag and he puts them all in the garbage bag and to keep them dry in case it rains, and puts the scrap metal plate on top of it and kind of hides it. And then he finds a good spot where he feels like nobody will see him and he won't be bothered by other people. And he, one night he finally goes for it. He kind of just goes and lays down there and he wakes up, maybe it shows him that night and he's laying there and he's looking up and he sees the stars and he's finds a way in his brain to kind of think that this makes it kind of pleasant. It's kind of nice. It's nice to be out in the fresh air and there's stars and whatever. And so he kind of finishes reading stuff on his phone, he turns it off, and he goes to bed. He wakes up in the morning, and nobody caught him, and nobody busted him, and nobody, mugged him, and he was okay. And so he starts doing it again and again and again. Next thing you know, he's really doing it, and he's gotten into it, and he realizes he can do it. Now, he realizes there's some times where it's just too hard. Maybe it's really too cold one night. Maybe it's raining too hard. So he's got little... This is the other part that's kind of neat about the story. He's got little tricks that he's developed through the years where, he'll have like a kit of clothes and shoes and a brush and stuff, and he'll have a kit in several lockers in subway stations around the city. So if he gets caught somewhere in the city and something bad happens, that you would go back to your home, but he doesn't really have a home like that. He has several little stashes and like lockers and subways around the city where he can go to and get something if something bad happens to him. He, if it's just too hard to, you know, he's got too much pressure on him, or if he needs to be, you know, in a good place, he's got a motel that he's located that's really cheap and it's clean, and he can go every now and then. He might go there and spend the night there when he doesn't feel like sleeping out. So he's got little things that he does. Okay, that's kind of the fundamentals of the beginning of the story. But now I'll start to get into, I am not in love with the title, Weekend Saying. I'm not in love with that title. The only reason I have that title was, so I'm constantly trying to figure out, okay, what becomes the arc? What becomes the challenge? What becomes the bad guy? Whatever. Where's the twist in the story? And I can't think of one that I like too much, but one of them I've considered is another way that he relieves stress, or if something gets too much, or if it's too much pressure for him that he's gotten into a habit of doing, is that he goes to Central on the weekends. He'll go to Central Station and take a train out of town, and he'll spend the weekend in some cute small little coastal village, and he'll stay in some bed and breakfast, and he'll kind of treat himself up. You know, he'll just spend a weekend in a nice relaxing bed and breakfast in a cute little town, and so he has a habit of doing that. And then I was thinking maybe one day he goes to this, he goes to like a bed and breakfast in a particular town, and the waitress becomes a romantic thing with him. You know, they kind of click, and they exchange some conversation and dialogue, and it gets a little flirty, and he sees her the rest of the weekend. And they kind of connect a little bit. So the next time he goes on a trip out of town to get away a little bit, he makes a point to go back to that little town, and he sees her again, and he ends up going out on a date with her, and they, they start to develop a relationship. Yeah. So the reason I had the name Weekend Saying, Weekend Saying, other than the fact that I think it sounds kind of cute, Weekend Saying, Weekend Saying, is because I was thinking, well, you know, during the week he lives a lifestyle of someone who is literally insane.
Okay.
But then when he goes, then in the weekends when he's going and visiting with her, he's living a very sane life. So week insane, weekend sane. And so, to tell you the truth, that's a working title. I am not thrilled with that title at all, but it was just something that stuck in my head a long time ago. And I'm not even saying that the direction that this story needs to go is a romance with some chick that he meets in a small town. I'm not saying that. That's just one option that's poked around in my head a little bit. If somebody else came in and said, you know what, I've got a better idea, why don't we go with this instead, and it was better, I'd be all over it. I couldn't care less. Makes no difference to me. But so I was thinking, if I went that romance direction, then I was thinking that, so she begins to become a part of his life, and she begins to kind of bring him back to sanity. And maybe at some point during the storyline, they're walking around, that they become a couple, you know, they're dating, and they are walking around in that little town, that little town that she lives in. And her dream was not just to work at a bed and breakfast. Her dream was to always own her own bed and breakfast. And we, you know, maybe they come across some old beat up, wonderful Victorian old house that's right on the water or something like that. And it's vacant and it's like condemned. And she, you know, tells him of her romantic story in her mind of, I'd love to be able to buy this one day and fix it up and make this my bed and breakfast. But of course she can't afford that because she's just a waitress. And, you know, that then when they finally get together at the end of the storyline, maybe the happy ending is that they get together, he gets out of that money lifestyle in the big city and moves to the small town with her, and they get together and live happily ever after. And you see that the colonial house has been bought, and it's been bought by his money. So he's got plenty of money to completely fix it up and make it beautiful. And now they have her dream, and he gets to live with her in her dream of owning the bed and breakfast.
But
that was just an ending I thought could work. I'm not saying I love it, but that was one that I got to. And so with the part of when he's And again, let me reiterate this again, okay? I'm not proud about any of this stuff. I'm not married to any of it. So if anybody came along, I mean, I understand. Listen, trust me. Trust me when I tell you this. Mm-hmm. I understand that you deal with a lot of people, and you know, you do have a job to do, and you got to work for your company. So I don't think that y'all are going to want to spend days and weeks and months contemplating my story, because you got to get the story out and move on to your next client. I get it. And that's okay with me. That's not a bad thing to me. I'm just saying, if you wanted to think about it a little bit, you know, another avenue that, one could go into is, I mean, I've lived in big cities, and American cities that are really large. It's pretty amazing how there's two completely different cities in the same city. There's the people who live in the homeless world, and there's the people who are not homeless.
Yes.
And it's amazing how people who are homeless can be right next to you.
Exactly, the ghettos and the suburbs.
But they're invisible to everybody. So, for example, if you had somebody who was homeless begging you for money in New York City, asking you for money on the street corner, and then an hour later, you went up to that person and brought that person over there and said, and cleaned that person up and said, do you know who this guy is? They'd never remember him. They're just, they're invisible to everybody. So there's another angle that I've thought about that's interesting about this story of, you know, he's got coworkers and friends that are all, they make good money. They all live a lifestyle of wealth and not extreme wealth, just, you know, successful people. And I thought another angle is maybe when he goes and does the homeless thing, he gets himself kind of in a homeless lifestyle where he kind of handles himself homelessly. He realizes people don't pay attention to him. And so, like, for example, maybe one night he's walking around the streets just to think about things, and some guys walk out of a bar laughing and joking with each other, and they bump into him, and it turns out that they are friends of his, coworkers of his. But because he's wearing clothes that sort of resemble a homeless person, and because he's playing kind of like a homeless guy, he kind of pulls the hoodie over his head a little bit more, and those guys don't even notice him. Because they would never notice him like that in that mindset.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. I get it. But
they would never notice that.
Yeah,
but I don't know if I don't know if that gets too.
I mean,
into like psychological bullshit.
Yeah, too cliche, honestly. But there are a lot of things that can go about this narrative. You know, we can do it in so many ways. I am just listening to you, and I can imagine so many things. For example, first of all, I do need to make sure, do we need to make that the girlfriend, an enemy, like a vengeance story? I think that would be suitable as well. For example, this person, this main character, the lead character, is actually, you know, was making money even though he was living a minimalistic lifestyle, but still was making money, right? So at the end of the day, he eventually just stands up his own company, let's say. He becomes a millionaire eventually because he was saving money, so he actually became a millionaire. So one day, he's the CEO. One day, a new employee, the HR actually tells him that there's a new employee. He needs to, you know, give her an orientation and everything. What he finds out is that employee is his ex. You know, she now needs money. She now needs job. You know, see where I'm pointing at?
Huh. That's an interesting angle I had never thought about. I'd have to kind of chew on it, but that's... Of course.
Yeah.
And in that storyline, do you think that are you still thinking that the going out of town bed and breakfast thing is a good thing to pursue, or no?
I mean, we could add that, honestly. For example, before having his own company, before he actually went on and had his love life, he's now married, okay? The person he's married to is the same person you gave me the narrative of, okay? The person he went to out of country with and everything, you know? That girl is...
Hang on one second.
Mm-hmm. Hello? On that basket, there's a little remote. Press the button on it. No, on the basket.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So that girl you were talking about, you know, he went on a date with and everything, the country girl, he is now married to her, okay? So she's now the wife of the CEO. So before the company and everything, we can have this whole plot or narrative that he went out to the country. He was obviously living a minimalistic lifestyle, but he found this girl, and they were, you know, they had this restaurant now, and eventually they made some more money, and because of that, they actually had their own company now. And now, in his own company, let's just do one thing. This wife is now the head of HR, okay? And she tells
Can you do me a huge favor? Can you do me a huge favor? My wife has tried to call me twice. Let me make sure everything's okay.
Oh yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
Hold on 1 second. Hang on one second.
Yep.
Sorry about that.
It's completely fine. Everything good now?
Everything's fine. Just wanted to make sure the kids were okay.
Okay, that's nice. So, yeah, you get what I'm going to get? So, this his wife is basically now the director in the company. She's also the director of HR or something, human resources. She tells him that there is a new employee who needs orientation. And when this person comes up, this is his ex. And we can take it from there. How does it sound? I mean, I'm just shooting pointers, okay? It's not something done, but, you know.
I appreciate the thinking. That what I love is even if we don't go with that plan, even if we don't go with that idea, I love that you're thinking about things in all different directions. I love that. So thank you. But if she came in there to be trained from her, from him, would he, with what you're envisioning, would he still be living?
He still has that vengeance aura inside him. Because now he's at this position where he can, I won't say exploit her, but, you know, take revenge, right? Because before they were living together, they had, you know, they were living together, everything, and even though everything was fine, she still said that she isn't satisfied. She needs more, even though more is never enough. So now he has this opportunity to show her that she was wrong, and what she did was wrong, right? So what he can do right now is maybe offer her a job that is completely odd. Or what he can do is he can offer her a job which is just minimum wage. And due to the fact that she is, she needs money now, she's homeless, technically homeless, she has to take up the offer. So she has to work so many hours, yet she doesn't have, she wouldn't be able to earn a lot of money. That's a good
Where is her being brought to him in your mind in the story, in the beginning, the middle, the end? Kind of give me an idea of where you're...
I mean, it might just come somewhere in the middle, because obviously everything would go as is, that she said, I can't live with everything, and he started living a minimalistic lifestyle. And after that, he used to go out of country, and then he found his love. And after finding his love, he found a company, and after finding the company, now we would still need to have a plot where she comes in and her life, I mean, as a homeless person. So we need to show that she was living a proper life with her boyfriend or husband, whoever. But now she is, she's poor now due to, let's say, we can put in anything that her boyfriend, something, they invested money in crypto, let's say, because there's a dip in crypto. They invested all the savings in the crypto market, and it was bearish, and they just lost all their money. So now they're technically homeless. Now she needs a job, and she applies an XYZ company. The company's director is this main protagonist, which we're talking of. And now we'll take it from there, that he, you know, saw that this is the person, this is his ex, and now we can exploit it. Get it?
I do get it. Well, here's the reason I may not want to go in that direction. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a good idea, but here's the reason is, and I probably didn't explain this very well. Okay, I'm not, again, just please believe me, I am not married to anything in particular, but the story that I have had, the story that I've had in my mind for so long has been where the main thing that jumps off the page to anybody reading it is the fact that this businessman is living homelessly to try to, he's doing this extreme thing to try to save money, something that everyone would think is crazy. But if I get him in a story married, and now this other girl's coming back, then it feels like the main point of the story is whatever he deals with her. Whereas to me, I don't know, I guess I'd always felt like the big story was that he was doing these incredibly kind of crazy extreme things to save money, mainly never settling down anywhere. Do you think that is just a bad idea?
I actually do not, because all the experiences, all the circumstances made him do this, right? So he eventually, I mean, he did not, we can say that he did not like this at first, you know, living homelessly, living a minimalistic lifestyle and everything, but due to his circumstances, he eventually evolved into it, you know, it actually grew up on him, and now he, you know, he likes it.
Right, and so if he got married, though, he couldn't be doing that stuff.
Yeah.
So I feel like that would have made it, if we get him married or something like that in the middle of the story, it almost seems like we're not really talking about that he did this crazy thing, because it would be like he just kind of did it for a while and then he got past it. He stopped doing it.
So
that's why I don't know. Yeah.
What if he doesn't get married to the girl, he's just dating her, you know? Just, we can add this, that he started dating this country girl just to get back on his ex. How about that? You know, that I, even though you think that I'm homeless, I'm not homeless. I'm living a homeless life. I still am earning money.
Oh, no. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I didn't tell you this. He's not telling anybody he's doing that. He's doing it secretly.
All right. Right. But he eventually would probably tell his ex, wouldn't he? I mean, you know, just to show her, I guess. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. We're just we're brainstorming right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yep, yep.
I think that I
we can also do this.
I lean towards saying to you, I don't really feel like the ex needs to be any more of the story. I feel like now, I do think she could come in at the end of the story. Mm-hmm. I think that the ex was a bad person. She was very shallow, and all she cared about was money, and she was a bitch.
Yep, exactly.
And
that is the reason we need to get back on her, don't we?
Hold on. So here's what I'm thinking. Yes. Yeah. But I'm not thinking that needs to be get back on her in a real severe way, because I don't want the main point to be about him getting back on the ex. I want the main point to be that he was doing this crazy, crazy thing that no one's ever done before. Anybody who, you know, works in real estate development and works on the, you know, 50th story of a high rise in downtown New York doesn't think about living in the woods.
Exactly.
So to me, that's the main thing. So to me, I wouldn't want to get caught up in it being a revenge thing with the ex. But what I do like about what you're saying is again, let's go back with my idea that he ventures out into some small town on the coast and goes to a bed and breakfast and meets this girl, and they start to develop and get a relationship. Well, maybe at the very end of the whole thing, when it shows that they've married and they've made this beautiful bed and breakfast that they have together, maybe at the end you see, like, she tries to come as a guest at the bed and breakfast. She doesn't know it's theirs. She doesn't know it's him. And maybe her and some girlfriends maybe her and some friends try to, you know, and it shows them, I don't know, trying to check in, and they're checking in and they're being snobs and stuck up, and mm-hmm. or maybe it shows them eating in the dining area of the bed and breakfast, and he sees them and he gets to look at her and just kind of smiles to himself and gets to reflect and say to himself, wow, thank God I didn't marry that girl. You know, this girl, that girl's crazy. She's a bitch. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think she can come back in at the very end maybe, but I don't know if I want to make it part of the storyline that he's trying to gain revenge on her.
Yeah.
I like the idea of her popping in at the end and him, mm-hmm. and him looking at her. You know, at the beginning of the story, he looked at her as everything in his life, and that's what drove him to do something so crazy. Mm-hmm. But I like the idea at the end of the story at him looking, catching her in the bed and breakfast and thinking to himself, thank God I didn't get caught up with her because she's a bitch and she's mm-hmm. crazy and stuck up and just kind of more content with life. And that's his get back to her. That's how he pays revenge to her, is he looks at her now and thinks, you're an idiot. You're crazy. Mm-hmm. You're a bitch, and I'm with somebody much better than you. You know, he's thinking that.
I get your
point. What do you think?
I get your point, and I like that as well. But if he do opt for the vengeance part, I still had another narration. Let me just still tell it to you. You know, for example, the main protagonist is gets back on his ex through dating his ex's boyfriend's sister. Get it?
Oh, hold on, say that one more time. So the main protagonist being her?
No, being him, the main character.
Oh, yeah,
He goes on to date his ex's boyfriend's sister.
His ex's...
His ex is dating another person, right? Because she wasn't happy with him. So now this main, our main character, now what he does is he eventually makes him some money and then starts dating the guy's sister. Get it?
Boy, you're really on the revenge side. Some girl must have done you wrong.
Oh, come on. Yeah, I'm just making him. Yeah.
The reason I'm pushing back is because I don't really know if I want the revenge thing.
You want the reader to focus on the narrative on this person's lifestyle, not of his, you know, personal, the love life, etc. I get your point.
You know, that's it. Yeah. I mean, I don't mind us having some components in it, but I'm afraid that if we did stuff any of those little things you said, that slowly becomes the main drive of the storyline. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I get your point. I guess. What we can do about the other narrative you're talking about is we can also.
I wish I could think of something that I liked better than my silly little romance story. I mean, angle on the back end, on the end, but nothing that I've thought of is better.
Yeah, there's a writer block. That's completely fine. It happens. I mean, what we can do is, let's just say, this person is, even though he is technically homeless, but he eventually allows people to, you know, rent out spaces. Yeah, he gives them money. He's a helpful person. But no one knows what his lifestyle is, right? So,
right.
Eventually, one day, let's just say the director or the CEO of the company he's working for finds out, let's just say a girl in his office, let's say in the HR or something, finds out. Rather than actually being surprised, she gets impressed by his lifestyle. That even though he is at a managerial position in the company, he's earning well, he still goes back to living a simple, minimalistic, homeless lifestyle, which actually attracts her towards him. She tries to, you know, get to know him better now. You know, she starts following him, And even though every time he checks there's no one there, she's always, you know, behind him, trying to watch him where he goes. One day, she does find out that he is sleeping in the woods in a really war-torn blanket or stuff like that, right, under the tree.
Now, what this is interesting, okay?
Yeah, what she does is one day she leaves a note. She just leaves a note. Because remember you told me that he wakes up every single time and there's no calls, no text or anything at all. No one's bugging him. He just wakes up and goes about his day. So one day he wakes up, he finds a note. And there's no name, I think. There's just a cute little message. We can think of the message later. Or maybe it's just a heart and some kisses, you know. And so he's mind-boggled. He's like, who the fuck is following me? Even though I check
right.
every single time that there's no one there before I'm going to bed, and now someone's on to me. Now he thinks about his ex. Maybe it's my ex bugging me. But it's actually not. He goes on to find his ex to see that she's enjoying her life with his boyfriend, with her boyfriend, everything. That's completely fine. She's on and about her life. He's still worried. So he keeps it at the side. He's like, okay, if there's another note, if there's something else, yada, 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 I'll look at it later, okay? He starts finding more notes every single night. I mean, every single day when he wakes up, there are more notes. One day, he actually does eventually find a number on the note. Then he starts calling the number and eventually starts talking to the girl. The girl is really impressed with his minimalistic lifestyle. She tells him that I am also a country girl. I love this lifestyle. And I really enjoy, living this kind of lifestyle. But there's no one to do it with. And there's no one to push me to actually go about it. You know, I'm a bit skeptical about this lifestyle. So,
can I jump in real quickly?
Please do.
Can I jump in? I really, really, really like everything you said up
mm-hmm.
until this very end part right here.
Mm-hmm.
So I should point out, yes, there are people around here. I'm not blind. There are people around the United States who like the idea of minimalistic lifestyles,
mm-hmm.
but none of them would look at what he's doing and like it. They would not do it, look at it and have some romantic image in their head of, I'm a country girl, therefore I like the idea of living in the woods in the middle of New York City with you. I love everything you just said. I think it's a great mm-hmm. direction to think about. That might be the way to go. But the only thing I'll push back on is, but I think if she does what you're saying, I think it's more along the lines of she's always admired him from across the office. You know, she's always looked at him and admired him and she's never said anything and she's kind of quiet and she's whatever, blah, blah, blah. And
mm-hmm.
maybe one day she's, you know, heading home herself or coming or walking out of a restaurant where she ate before she went home for the evening. And she sees him jogging. And so she decides to go for it and to go over and talk to him and say, introduce herself and say, hey, I work with you. My name's Becky. I work with you and blah, blah. And so she kind of follows him and sees him turn into the woods and is like scratching her head and kind of notices it. And so maybe she kind of notices it from afar and starts watching him and following him doing this. But not in a way like finally I found somebody who lives the way I want to live. I don't think that would be believable to the reader, but what I do think we could do maybe is have her start kind of watching him because she's always had a crush on him and had her eye on him, and now she sees this incredibly shocking scene that nobody in a million years would have ever dreamed. If anybody went during the day to anybody at that office and said, hey, Jackson over there, that well-dressed, smart manager who makes a ton of money and looks sharp as hell and looks like Brad Pitt, and he's, guess what? In the evenings, he peels away from everybody and goes and lives homeless in the woods. Nobody would ever believe that. And so she sees it, and because she's had a kind of a crush on him and because she's got a sweet heart,
mm-hmm.
she starts kind of watching him and wondering what's going on. And she starts trying to figure out why the hell is this guy doing this? And maybe, I mean, I don't know, maybe, I mean, I almost wish that, I almost wish maybe, we could figure out a way to make it, maybe we can make it seem, she can, maybe she starts dressing homeless and, like, acts like she's another homeless person and starts, quote unquote, bumping into him and acting like it's by accident and you know, becoming someone that he...
To get his attention or something.
Well, to talk to him. And so then he starts to tell her his story, and he doesn't think it's anybody that he'll ever know. And so he you know, opens up with her. He just thinks she's just some homeless woman, so it'll never harm her. I mean, excuse me. It'll never harm him to have her hear his story. And maybe he tells his story to her, and then eventually one day she finally, again, quote unquote, takes off her mask, so to speak, and shows him that it's her from the office. And I don't know. I mean, I like the beginning of what you were saying. It's an interesting way to go, that somebody that works with him accidentally finds out that he's doing this thing that is crazy. I mean, it's, you know, if anybody said that they were doing that to anybody, the people would say, you need to go to a psychiatrist. You're crazy.
Exactly. I mean, what we can do right now is when she finds out that he is living under the tree, he's living like a homeless, and she's shocked, what she did is she eventually makes some kind of a dish, okay, a unique dish or something, a very tasty dish, and brings it to him, you know, just as a person is giving to a homeless person, you know. So she just leaves the food, the dish, to him, you know. It's just to, you know, just give him some food or something, even though she knows that he is a manager, but he's still living as a homeless person. So she wants him to think that a person left this food for a homeless person, okay. This food is really tasty, okay. It's really tasty, this dish. So she eventually starts making this dish at the office as well. I mean, just bringing the food in the office, the same, very same dish. And eventually, one day, brings it to the manager in the office. The manager eventually recognizes the food, the taste, you know, and we can go from there. He eventually finds out that this is the girl who was leaving food for me, thinking that I'm a homeless person, you know, and eventually they start talking.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm. But I like your idea as well, you know. She starts leaving notes, and then she eventually finds out that this is the manager, okay? And then she obviously had a crush on him, so she starts talking to the manager at the office, and then later, you know, they eventually share the same lifestyle. How about that?
Okay. And what is your name again? Remind me.
Kevin.
Say it again?
Kevin.
Okay. Are you on my what is it called? The software? Are you
Teambook?
What's
Teambook?
It called?
Are you talking about Teambook?
No, I thought it was called like Work something.
Oh, no, I'm not over there, but you know. Anyways, carry on.
I'm just trying to figure out. I was going to ask you, I mean, you've given me a lot to chew on. Instead of us coming up with it just on the fly like this, would you mind if I thought about it and maybe emailed you sometime this weekend about what I was thinking?
You can email everything to Lisa, every single detail. It goes through her and to me completely fine. Even if you have a full stop, just email that. That's completely fine. Every single thing. I'll have that. Okay, don't worry. You know.
Well, let me listen. This stuff sounds good. Let me chew on it a little bit, and I'll email back to Lisa so that she can forward on to you. And then in the meantime, why don't you read that 5-page thing just so you can kind of get where I was coming from there too. It can't hurt. So maybe just read that too. And then. Does that sound good?
Yeah, it sounds wonderful. So, and I still like the idea that we're still sticking to the homeless lifestyle, the minimalistic lifestyle, you know, because this is something, even though this is really unique, it still sounds like maybe a psychological order, disorder, you know. So this is the gist of the story, right? Because basically the person is, you know, even though he's earning a lot of money, he's a good-looking guy, he is well-dressed as well, but at the end of the day, he is, on the flip side, a completely homeless person. That's how he sleeps. And no, it's like Batman, right?
That's right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, there you go. Exactly. And it has and again, he has little tricks that he's developed over the years around town. He's got little stashes and places to go if he needs to get something done. And, you know, maybe he's dated somebody. And if he starts to date somebody, if they go to the next level and go to bed, they always go to her place. And then eventually she may start saying, I want to go to your place. Well, he can't take her to his place because he doesn't have a place. So then the girl eventually thinks that he's having an affair with her and that he's actually married. Right. And so then they break up and there's all kinds
not
of different possibilities
bad, James,
to think about.
Not bad. Yep.
Okay. Anyhow, let me chew on this stuff. Kevin, you gave me some really great things. I kind of like your idea there. I got to chew on it a little bit. And I'll text Lisa, and then we'll try to find out when's the best time to
take it from there. That's completely my idea. A lot of ideas on board now. Some from me, some from you. We can, you know, create an amalgamation and just, you know, it will be a wonderful story, a juicy story.
If I want to, think about it, and we can email back and forth or start outlines or whatever, but if I wanted to have a quick conversation with you again like this, is that something that's okay to do?
It's completely fine. You can just tell Lisa and she'll schedule something with me. Okay?
Perfect. Kevin, thank you so much, my friend. Have a great weekend.
Don't embarrass me by saying thank you. Okay? You have a great weekend as well. And hopefully we'll have a wonderful story now.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
Take care. Have a good day.
Bye.